Record.
Okay, I'm recording.
Wow, this is kind of exciting and nervous at the same time.
Alright.
Episode one, I guess. Hey everyone, welcome to Winnie's first episode for Money Bites. We'll be digging into money, mindfulness, and everything that comes in between through bite-sized discussions. I'm super excited to bring to you Kristen Yurtig as our first guest. Kristen, it's awesome to have you back. Want to just start off with an introduction of yourself?
Sure, thank you for having me. I'm Kristen Yurtig. I founded Brooklyn Plans, which is a financial planning organization to help specifically young professionals to take control of their finances. I had a background working in wealth management and then low-income New Yorkers, helping them to manage their money, and just found that there was a real gap for people, pretty much everybody in between, and that there was a real need and interest from younger people to get connected with expert advice. So that's what I set out to do with Brooklyn Plan.
Great. Before we move on, how can they reach you?
Sure. Brooklynplans.org is the website. I'm on the Twitter at @NAwesome. I'm on Facebook, Brooklynplans.org. I think that covers the major bases.
Awesome. Totally. I wanted to start the conversation probing our relationships with money. For a lot of our Winnie users, we tend to see a turning point where they change their perspective about money. Whether that's turning 30 or moving in with your significant other, have you found in your experience with your clients and readers that the relationship with money just naturally evolves, or is there a wake-up call that is sort of like a lightning bolt? Uh-oh, I need to get my act together.
Totally. I think I call it triggers. Like, there's certain triggers.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, that they're like, oh, I need to get this together. And exactly, you name two of them. Turning 30, that's one. For sure, like birthdays, people sometimes start to reflect and they're like, wait a minute, I'm not exactly where I want to be, or I am doing the, you know, it's not just people that feel like they're not doing well that comes in. A lot of people feel like they're doing as well as they can on their own, and to get to the next level, they need help. So it's turning 30, getting engaged. I just saw a recently married couple the other night, and I was laughing about how this is like what happens when people get engaged. They get engaged, they start wedding planning. At some point, I think it tends to be 3 to 6 months before the wedding, they're like, oh wait, we're gonna be married, you know, and then what's gonna come up?
Yeah.
Like, they get over the hump of just being able to see to the wedding day, and they're like, oh, but we're gonna actually be together the rest of our lives after this one day. So then what are we going to do? And they reach out to me, and we go back and forth. Sometimes we have a consultation at that point, sometimes not. They drop off the radar until they get married, and then they, like, pop up again after the wedding. And they're like, okay, now we're really ready to do this, because there's just so much going on leading up to a wedding that, you know, understandably, they have the idea, but they're not really ready to follow through until they're actually married. So getting married, moving in together, yeah, those are all the first. I get a lot of my blog. It tends to be a bit of a younger readership than my clients, so I tend to get messages on the blog when people say, "I just got my first job. I want to make sure I'm doing everything right. I have access to a 401k. I've never had that before. You know, what should I be doing? I want to get it right from the start." So that's another one.
So I think a lot of the emotions that, like you said, trigger us to want to have another look at our finances, unfortunately, tend to be a bit more on the negative side, as in anxiousness, fear of the future, oh my, no idea what I'm doing, sort of all that jumbled into one. is that what we should be feeling about money and future? How do you see money management? What does that mean to you, and what would it look like, or what should it look like? Is it supposed to be fear inducing?
I don't think so. I think it is. It's funny because I write down, it's a really good point that you make. I write down things that my clients say, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of negativity around finances, which I think is unwarranted. I think that it's one of those things that there's so much noise around. It's covered constantly in the media. You hear a lot of should, you know, what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. I heard someone say today, don't shit all over yourself. And I like that because it applies to finances. You know, people feel that they should have been doing something else. They should be somewhere else other than where they are. And there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of fear in the numbers and knowing what you can do and can't do. I recently sat with a client when we were going through some of our expenses, and I was showing her, like, how much she'd been spending on shopping and restaurants, and she's like, oh my god, I'm getting nauseous. Can you stop? So it was like painful, and I hear that from people. I think that it's empowering to, when you really sit with the numbers and see what's possible, what is happening. I think there's a lot of resistance to doing that, but when you do, it's like you've conquered. It's like you played a dragon, you know, and then you can go forward with this clarity and understanding and make realistic plans for yourself based on reality. And I think there's so much, like, peace and serenity in being in that space. But there is stuff that comes up in that process, and it can be very emotional. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not a therapist. But I think of finances as a holistic, I have a holistic approach to it, in that I encourage people to journal or to meditate before you look at it, if that's part of your lifestyle and practice, because it does require a certain amount of balance to approach it. But I think it can be an awesome, beautiful tool in your life, and that's what I do strive to show my clients and help them to see. But sometimes there is a difficulty and a challenge in getting to that place that I can't really deny.
Totally. I make a lot of analogies with dieting when we talk to our users, and it's you're totally right. A lot of guilt shaming when you have that piece of chocolate that, you know, you shouldn't be having. But at the same time, there's also the balance in terms of it's never, you know, an extreme dieting that you want to go towards either. What would be a good sort of reminder to know that you might slip up, you might have that second helping of ice cream or go on a shopping spree, but that's still all right. It's not a, you know, 100% or 0%, a zero sum game.
Right. That's a good point. I think, yeah, like anything, that has to be balanced. I think that's why a lot of people resist looking at their finances, because they think that if they look at it, then that means that they're going to see all the things they shouldn't be doing and that they can't do anymore. And that's not the case, you know, or it shouldn't be the case if you work with a planner or any set up a system for yourself. It should account for fun. It should account for freedom. It's not going to work if it's all... you know, debt repayment. There's no fun in that, and you're not going to stick to it. So I think it definitely has to be balanced. Like, a clear example of that is when I have people that have a lot of credit card debt, and a lot of student loan debt, actually. They come in sometimes, and they're like, I just want to pay as much as possible to this debt every month, because they feel stressed out by the weight of it and the total number, and they come in, and they have this really clear singular goal. Mm. And I always say, like, okay, I understand that. I know this is stressing you out. I don't think it's wise to just make that your only financial goal, because you're going to get back into it again if you don't also save for, I call it a freedom fund, the fun things that you're going to do in life, and your emergency fund. Mm-hmm. If something comes up, then you're going to need to use the funds. You're going to need to have funds to handle it. If you don't have the funds, you're going to go into debt to handle it. So it can be a slippery slope. And the way that I think people sustainably get out of debt is by saving and repaying debt simultaneously. Not this, like, singular, I'm just going to pocket every extra dollar I have away in my debt and call out of it. That's extreme.
Right.
You know, or you hear these stories about people and it's like, somebody told me, I don't even know if this is true, I haven't Googled it, but they said, did you hear about this guy that paid off his mortgage in 3 years by eating crackers and peanut butter? And I was like, oh my God, who would want to spend 3 years of their life that way?
Yeah.
You know? Great, congratulations, you paid off your mortgage.
And what have you lost?
But you've lost 3 years of your life. Exactly. Is that really worth it? So yeah, I definitely think of, like Buddha, that there's a middle path there that can be found, and that there's a sweet spot in the middle. And we shame ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves. And I always tell people, I'm like, you know, we didn't learn about this in school. You don't get mad at yourself when you can't fix your own computer. You don't get mad at yourself if your car breaks down and you can't fix it. Why do we get mad at ourselves if we're not able to climb our own way out of our finance problem? It's not your expertise. So that's okay. You're going to need information. You're going to need help. You're going to need support, just like you would if any other area of your life of what you were struggling with it. You know, but there's something like, that we assume that we should all have the knowledge and skills to tackle our own very complex financial problems, projections, and calculations, and we just don't. And that's okay.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah!
We'll come back in the next episode with emergency funds. What constitutes an emergency, when you can actually tap into an emergency fund, and more good stuff. Hope to see you back.